From APM, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. This week, we learned that Avis, the rental car company, will be managing Alphabet's fleet of self-driving cars, starting in Phoenix, Arizona. It's part of a long-term and significant change in transportation in the U.S. around self-driving vehicles that we are following. But in the short term, transportation companies still need human drivers. And while we've talked a lot on our show about the recent troubles and leadership changes at Uber, we haven't checked in with drivers. So we called up Harry Campbell. He's a driver with Uber and Lyft and blogs at therideshareguy.com. Harry, thanks for talking. We have to assume even the recent change in allowing for tipping drivers was related to Uber's challenges, right?
Yeah, I think that there's definitely a huge connection between Uber adding the tipping option. I mean, really no less than a week after the CEO took a break from the company and then eventually resigned. And to be frank, I think a lot of drivers sort of felt that the CEO was at the root of a lot of their satisfaction, whether it was the policies he was putting in place or even the comments he was making in the media saying things like, can't wait till we get rid of the other dude in the car, referring to drivers. And you can imagine that for drivers who are sort of staying on top of this, it's not exactly what you want to hear from the head boss at your company.
Right. And even if Travis Kalanick is gone and Uber is still working on self-driving cars, how do you feel long-term about drivers' futures with Uber?
Well, I think that long-term is an interesting question, but honestly, a lot of drivers are more concerned with the short-term. They're thinking about their day-to-day, how do I pay the bills at the end of the week, or how do I pay the bills at the end of the month? At some point in the future, it may be human drivers competing with self-driving cars. But I think even then, as self-driving cars get into the arena, it's going to lower the cost of transportation for everyone. And even more people are going to be taking rideshare services like Uber and Lyft, which could mean that drivers might have jobs for longer than they think, at least while the self-driving cars scale up their fleet.
Fair enough. Do you feel like people are still working for Uber in the same volumes?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I guess I would love to say that drivers are not getting as many rides and passengers are not taking Uber as much because of some of these ethical problems and some of the turmoil that Uber has had at the company. But frankly, we really haven't seen that. Drivers are still getting just as many rides, if not more. More passengers are definitely getting into the car and saying, hey, so what do you think about Uber's CEO or now former CEO? But at the same time, they're still calling these Uber rides. And I think that's really what a lot of people miss is that passengers are connecting with drivers, right? They might see what's going on at the company and they might be aware of these issues, but they're not ever chatting with the CEO, right? They're chatting with the driver who's providing a great experience and they can still call for a ride with their smartphone.
Harry Campbell, he's a driver with Uber and Lyft and blogs at therideshareguy.com. Harry, thanks for talking with us.
Thanks for having me on.
One of the most interesting and troublesome patterns in how people adopt technology is that, well, there is no pattern. Often people use software and hardware in ways the founders never intended, let alone imagined. One example, profile hacking on Facebook in India, where for a bunch of different kinds of reasons, from a lack of familiarity with social media to much more malicious motives of harassment, people are stealing the photos and other profile information from female users and using them on their own accounts at a high rate. Facebook has now built a tool to fight this phenomenon, making it harder to download or screenshot a person's photo and putting additional patterns on photos to deter digital thieves. Ankita Rao is an associate editor at Motherboard who has been writing about this. Ankita, thanks for talking.
Thanks so much for having me.
Tell me a little bit more about the people you know who have been impacted by this kind of profile hacking.
One of them was my cousin, and she is kind of a normal Indian young woman and had her several profile pictures stolen.
How did she find out about it, and did she talk to the person who created it?
Well, I think a few of us had talked to her at the same time because we were like, why is she requesting us again when we're already friends? And she told us that that happened and someone duplicated her profile and then she reported it to Facebook. But a lot of people she knew accepted that friend request and then she had to sort of go around looking for them and telling them that it wasn't real. And it was, I think it was a few weeks before they took it down.
this is early days for the tool itself. What do you think is next in this story?
I think that Indian women are exasperated at the amount of abuse and frustration that they face online. So I do think that people are going to try it. And I think based on that feedback that either the tool will continue and hopefully develop and maybe expand outside of India to other countries, or it'll dissolve like a lot of other tools that were meant to address the same issue.
Even though there are lots of Facebook users in India, it's interesting to imagine the company trying to build tools for its users in specific cultures or specific geographical areas. Do you think that is sustainable?
I don't know if it's sustainable, but I think it is a requirement because I think that every time a tech company kind of rolls out in a new place, they face all of these new challenges and new battles, and they quickly realize that if they're not culturally sensitive and if they're not in the know about what that particular community or society is facing, it doesn't work. And those sort of things are, you know, it works a lot better if your company knows exactly the market that you're going into before you try to do it.
Ankita Rao is an associate editor at the website Motherboard. Ankita, thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
And yesterday we quizzed you on some sounds from classic Atari games to celebrate the company's 45th anniversary. And a lot of you got 2 out of 3 Atari game sounds right. But nobody correctly identified this game yesterday. So, anybody? Bueller? I'm still waiting for the correct answer. You can tweet it to me. I am at the Brock Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.